a look at Paul's letters, and they're all different, in length, different in subject, different in mood sometimes, but there are some kind of bones that remain constant throughout his letters. You almost all of his letters begin with some kind of salutation or greeting to the people. Sometimes within his letter, he takes a little time for some personal notes where he says, please give give greetings to such and such, or to this person, or to this person, or let them know that I'm praying for them. Usually the major part of any body of within the letter has to do with some issue they are facing. Oftentimes very specific, so he's obviously heard through the grapevine what's going on in the congregation. There's always a benediction of some part. But one of the features that is almost universally there in each of the letters is what's called a charge. A charge, words of encouragement, words of direction, words that are meant to lift up, build up. And so there's always a charge. And I often think that these are some of the most beautiful parts of Paul's letter. And I want to share some of those charges that we find in his letters with you today. To the church in Corinth, keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. A charge to the church in Galatia. So then, whenever we have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the family of faith. To the church in Ephesus, pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert, and also and always persevere in supplication for the saints. Here's his charge to the church in Philippi. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. To the church at Colossia, conduct yourself wisely toward outsiders, making the most of your time. Let your speech be always gracious, seasoned in salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. And then to the church in Thessalonica, perhaps one of his most noted, familiar, and beloved charges to the church. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every evil. These are the words of Scripture and words of encouragement that Paul gave to his churches. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather here today, you give us a charge as well. Probably very simply put, be Christ-like. And so we pray that we might hear your word and do your word and in follow in the steps of our Lord, so that in that we might be Christ-like and fulfill that which you would have us do and be. May the words of my mouth and the meditations that come from our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. This past Tuesday, Cynthia and I returned from Iowa, the beloved state of Iowa, after celebrating her mom's 90th birthday. And though it was super cold, it was still a wonderful time and a great gathering as people came from really all corners of the United States. We were from Florida. Some were from Seattle. There were some from Minnesota. There were even a few from Phoenix that came up. It was a grand gathering. And we spent about 5-6 days there, and we obviously had the opportunity to spend a good amount of time with Cynthia's folks, who are in an independent living center. And one of the things that struck me was that every time Cynthia's folks and ourselves, that we kind of parted ways, either in the afternoon or for the day, Cynthia's dad would always say, "Have fun, but be good." Kind of a mixed message, isn't it? Oxymoron. Have fun, but be good. It was kind of like a carrot. Have fun, but be good. And what is kind of interesting is that when Cynthia and I kind of part ways for the day or at some point, guess what she always says to me? Have fun, but be good. So what do you say to people when you leave them or take your departure? Do you say, take care, or be safe, or love you, or have a good day, or God be with you? Or do you say, have fun, but be good? I suppose we all have a phrase or a charge that we give someone when we take our leave from a spouse, a child, or a friend. Well, the Apostle Paul was no different. He too always gave a charge to the people that he wrote his letters to. And much to Paul's credit, it wasn't a simple kind of a 2 or 3 word kind of phrase. It wasn't the same phrase for each church, for every church. To his credit, he fashioned every charge according to the personality of the church, the issues they were going through, the mood of the church at the time. I think we can assume that Paul was a thoughtful person and wanted to leave every church with a charge that best addressed their needs, their growth, and their faith. And so it should come as no surprise that we have such a thoughtful variety of charges from the different letters as we collect them from Paul. Well, today, as you stand on the verge of bringing in new pastoral leadership, and a number of us pulpit supplies will kind of fade into the wings or the bushes or the golf courses, I want to leave you with the charge. I want to leave you with the charge of affection, a charge of direction, and a charge of encouragement for this new chapter in the life of this church. So in good Presbyterian form, here is my threefold charge to you as a church. First of all, I charge you to be joy-filled. Be joy-filled. Now, that may sound kind of simple, but I think there are a number of elements that make up the expression or the feeling of joy. The first one is most certainly gratitude and thanksgiving. As I have said and as I have practiced in my pastoral prayers with you, I think gratitude and thanksgiving is always our starting point in our discussion with God and in our relationship with God. Paul most certainly realized this as he said to the church in Thessalonica, "Give thanks in all things." He didn't say give thanks for all things, but he said give thanks in all circumstances. Meaning thanks and gratitude, though there is great mystery as to why bad things happen to good people, Gratitude is that which we stand on, a conviction that God is always willing and working for our good. And so in that belief, I charge you to give thanks, which will always lead to a joy-filled life. A kind of second ingredient in this joy-filled batter is humility. You know, I love the phrase, God is God and we are not. God is God and we are not. It's a phrase that embraces and acknowledges our surrender, our obedience, our letting go of the steering wheel, and keeping a posture that says God knows best, and God will be at work in us, guiding us in faithful directions. I also think humility opens us up to the blessings we have been given, and the blessings of people, and the church family, and the support that comes to us in that. Humility is a key ingredient in being joy-filled. And lastly, I don't know how you can be a joy-filled church without a good dose of humor and laughter and fun. And I know you as a church are not short on those things. I've seen some of your family gatherings here, and you know how to have fun. You have a wonderful creativity in that, and you have an ability to not take yourself too seriously, but you make for a church where smiles and laughter is never out of season. One of my favorite pictures of Jesus is not the one standing at the door and knocking or holding the door. There's a wonderful picture of Jesus with him kind of throwing his head back, and he is laughing. It's a wonderful expression of humanity and of fun and relatability, and I like to see our Lord that way. So, my friends, I think fun is as spiritual as anything. So, my charge to you, first charge, is to be joy-filled, meaning be filled with thanksgiving and humility and laughter. Second point in my charge to you is to be grace-filled. Grace-filled. Grace meaning to abound in forgiveness and mercy. Be grace-filled for the past that brings you to this point. Now, I know that as a Presbyterian church that's had to deal with the Presbyterian polity and process, this process has probably been frustrating, aggravating, and infuriating at times. And I'm sure you have had your moments when you have wanted to throttle the denomination, or the presbytery, or COM, or maybe even each other from time to time. The search process, and my imagery of that search process, is like 10 people who are trying to dance in a telephone booth. And I assume many of you know what a telephone booth still is. But imagine 10 people doing that, and the result is you step on each other's feet. It just happens. Well, be grace-filled for the past, for stepping on each other's feet. Forgive. Don't harbor resentment. Understand that we are all frail and faulty people. And for those times when you have felt wronged, now is the time to simply let that go and let grace be the order of the day. But I also want you to be grace-filled for the future, not just for the past, but for the future as well. Sure, when Anthony gets here, there is going to be a wonderful kind of honeymoon period, as we call that. You know, you will think he is the best pastor that ever came out of seminary, and he will be convinced you are the best church in the denomination. And then at some point, reality will dawn. I remember when I went to the church in Muskegon, Michigan. I thought I had arrived at paradise. Couldn't even believe they were paying me. And then about a month into the job, I discovered the hidden realities of the budget. I discovered that I had a staff on hand that was in major conflict with each other. And I discovered that my office manager was about ready to have surgery and would be out for 4 months, and they hadn't selected a replacement yet, of which Cynthia wound up stepping into. You know, at that point, when all of that began to set in, I began to wonder what levels of hell I was in, and I was quite sure that they had not paid me enough. But in fact, you know, they came to the realization, too, that I couldn't walk on water, so they were surprised as I was. Frankly, that dynamic happens in churches. Anthony will figure out you are not perfect, and you will discover he cannot change water into wine. And so what you will need is grace, lots of grace. Grace discovers that you are still a hospital or you aren't a haven of saints. You are a hospital of sinners. So when you discover, and you will, that one of you doesn't pick up your clothes, and you discover the other snores, let grace abound. God will lead you into a place of peace and strength in the future. One last point in this charge, and that's to be Spirit-filled. Be not just joy-filled, grace-filled. Be Spirit-filled. However, as Scripture says, we don't know where the wind of the Spirit blows. You know, we can't control it. We can't dictate it. But I believe two things are true in the life of faith. One is that God indeed wants to fill us with the Spirit of God. And two, that there are things we can do to make ourselves open vessels to the Spirit being in our life, either individually or as a church. There are things we can do, like praying daily, worshiping faithfully, listening quietly, trusting unconditionally, serving radically, which you do so well as a church, acting courageously and loving compassionately. Those are the kind of postures which open us up to God being in us and filling us with the Holy Spirit. Someone once gave me a plaque of a sailboat, and underneath were the words, "You don't know from where the wind will blow, but you can always set your sails." So set your sails to be Spirit-filled. My friends, it has been a joy and a pleasure and a privilege to be with you and to be part of your life as I've kind of snuck in and out. You have welcomed both Cynthia and myself with open and loving arms, and we are grateful. But now, an exciting chapter in your church life is about to begin. I hope you are excited about that. And my charge to you is this: be joy-filled with thanksgiving and humility and fun. Be grace-filled for the past and for the future that is before you. And be Spirit-filled, for God wants to do great things in and through you. May the Lord's blessing be upon you as you journey into the future. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I pray a blessing upon this church, that you will fill it with joy, with grace, and with your Holy Spirit, so that it might emerge from this time of searching and discernment, and that together as a church and with Anthony's pastoral leadership, they might find your Spirit be holding them together and guiding them in new directions. So bless them, use them, and let your presence always be here. In Jesus' name, amen.